Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each week the hosts Caleb and Jay dive into their five favorite things across an ever-changing landscape of topics. Every episode they share, debate, and sometimes even agree on their top picks, from the profound to the profoundly absurd. Sometimes they even have a guest to give them a fresh perspective, whether they take it seriously or just for the laughs. You're in for a treat, so grab your headphones and let's get started on this week's High Five.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
You I just sound want to a make lot sure better I now.
Well, I switched speakers. Or yeah. I switched mics.
To the microphone. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see.
It sounds a lot better. So I think that's what fixed it for me, which makes sense. It is. Because...
Yep, it is. It's working fine now. I'm recording.
Cool.
You want me to stop recording and start over?
No.
Or are you we'll already recording?
It. I might try to leave some of this in.
Okay.
I'll figure it out, but.
Okay.
So.
What's up, Viv?
Caleb wants to say hi.
Oh, yeah. She can't hear me, can she? I was saying hi to you, and there was no way for you to hear.
Just hold it in. He said hi.
Hi.
What's up?
What's up?
Do you want to do an introduction, Viv?
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Start.
Right now.
Right now.
I don't know what to say.
I was just going to see what you're going to do.
I was too. I was all excited.
What should I say?
Do you know what the name of the podcast is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, why don't you just roll with the name and then hosts and that you're a special guest.
The High Five.
I know, but should I say my last name?
Say, hi, my name is Vivian.
Hi.
Whenever you're ready.
You could say something like, hi, my name is Vivian, and I hope you enjoy this episode of The High Five.
Okay, let's go.
Do it.
Hi, my name is Vivian. I hope you enjoyed this new episode of The High Five, where we are doing albums, and I'm going to be a musical guest.
Ooh, you're going to sing?
The musical things.
You're going to be a guest to talk about the music albums.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Awesome.
That's obviously what I said.
you want to try it again?
Okay, sure.
Do it one more time.
I don't know what to say.
It's totally fine. Whatever you say is fine, but you can do it one more time if you want.
I don't know.
Hi, my name's Vivian.
Hi, my name is Vivian. And this is the High Fives. We are doing an episode on music albums, and I am a guest. And I am going to be telling you my favorite music album today.
What is your favorite music album?
So I kind of had to do a little bit of challenging myself because I have two favorites. I'm a big Swiftie.
Ooh, and, Taylor Swift.
So it's really hard for me to pick one.
So I'm guessing it's going to be a Taylor Swift album though, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So I went to my two favorites and I put all of my favorites down and I counted them up. And the one that had the most was Fearless. So that's going to be my favorite.
Fearless. So what songs are on Fearless?
Oh, we've got a lot. These are just some of my favorites.
Yep.
Fearless, White Horse, Forever and Always, Superstar, Mr. Perfectly Fine, That's When, Breathe. A lot of good songs on there.
How do they make you feel when you listen to them?
They're just really fun.
Yeah.
They pump me up.
Okay.
I don't, yeah.
Cool.
The other one that I was testing was Speak Now, because I love that one too.
Nice.
But it just ended up not having a lot. I mean, I will listen to the album full, and it will be like the favorite part of the day, because it's just such a good album. But I think Fearless is longer, and it has more of my favorite songs on it. So, yeah, that's why it's my favorite.
Nice.
Cool beans.
Cool beans. Have it on a do you have it on record, on vinyl?
He hasn't bought it for me yet.
No, oh, my goodness.
That's one of the next ones we got to get. But it's like $50 because it's three discs.
Well, it's because it's Taylor's version. Yeah. She had to put the Vault songs on.
Yep.
And if you don't know what Vault songs are...
They're songs that come from the Vault.
You better not ask me, because then I'm going to go on a Taylor Swift information rampage, and you will...
I could summarize it.
Okay, let me hear you try, and I will be correcting you.
It's basically like B-sides, or songs that maybe didn't get completed, that just got missed, and by the time the record or the album was about to come out, the song just wasn't ready.
Didn't make the cut.
Or didn't fit on the album. Sometimes thematically a song doesn't necessarily fit on a release. So.
But then when her stuff got stolen and sold, she had to recreate all the albums she had done so far. It was six albums, and she has two more to do. There are suspicions that Reputation is going to be announced soon,
dun-dun.
Which means February. And I'm so excited, but
I'm excited for you.
Yes, very fun.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on, Vivian.
Yes.
Thanks, very special guest.
Fun times. I still can't believe that you didn't choose any Taylor Swift albums.
She saw my list and she was not impressed.
She's dropping hints already as to what was out.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Viv. Love it.
Yeah, so that was
top
fun.
Albums.
Yeah. So I picked this week. If you know me at all, I am a big music person. I know you are as well. Music probably, as far as albums go, music is really what pushed me through COVID and all the shutdown stuff. Like I was really listening to a lot of music to keep my spirits up. So what's your initial thought of this week being music albums?
Yeah, you know, I thought last week being favorite TV shows was going to be hard, but this was probably even harder, and I would even say even more of fluidity to these lists. I went more on like kind of historic feel, thoughts, that kind of stuff. That's kind of where I sat and landed, or just albums that I've listened to for a long time or over and over, or I feel like, you know, from track one to the end is just solid.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I got a couple just like starting questions just to kind of get us in the mood of talking about music and albums. So how do you consume music? I consume music like on Spotify, a lot of streaming in the last year. So I've gotten back into vinyl records. And so I got a new record player, new turntable for Christmas. So I'm doing that a lot. And I just love the intentionality of listening to a full album. So I'd say for me, it's between Spotify and playing records at home. How do you listen?
Apple Music is typically what... we use. I was a Spotify person for a while back, but kind of switched probably 3 or 4 years ago, and have used Apple Music. We have a record player since we moved a few years ago. I have not set it up yet in the new house, so we don't really use records much anymore. It's pretty much all streaming. We have a HomePod, so we listen to that in the living room with the kids and stuff. So,
yeah, cool. So how would you say you discover new music? For me, I do like New Music Friday playlists on Spotify, but I kind of fell out of that, and so now it's a lot of just like I do a lot of manually digging on my own just to find okay. new stuff, because normally what is curated to me as far as new stuff doesn't really work for me,
yeah.
because I think my genres or my music taste kind of falls between genres a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And so what's recommended doesn't really fit me. So I do a lot of manually digging, a lot of looking into. Actually, it was funny, as I was doing this, I asked AI after I listed my five favorite albums.
Yeah.
With this AI app that I have on my phone, I said, now so knowing these five albums, what would you recommend? And it recommended a Tame Impala album that I'd never heard of before. And so I listened to it. It was okay, but still not very well.
Yeah, not
very, doesn't really get me, but
yeah, AI hasn't quite figured you out yet, huh?
Yeah. How about you? How do you discover music?
Yeah, typically recommendations are always huge. You know, if somebody's like, "Oh, I listened to this album. Like, you got to check it out." I'm mm-hmm. all for it. I do still use like in Apple Music the recommendation section, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
I started to use that. I didn't use that for a while, but I'm starting to. But again, like you said, it gets to a point where you're hearing the same stuff over and over a lot of times because, you know, if you don't skip a song, it plays that band or whatever. So, but I do use that. The other one that I've kind of come across several new artists is at concerts, like opening acts. If I go to a show and like, oh, hey, there's an opening act and it's really good, I'm like, oh, yeah. So I've had that several times where I've just gone to a concert and the opening act has been awesome and, you know, download all the albums. So
my big one you've probably heard me say is when I saw Matchbox 20 when I was a kid. I was not a kid, 18 years old or something, and Maroon 5 opened for Matchbox 20, and no one had ever heard of them, and so that's my big claim to fame, that I saw them back before they had anything out. It was pretty cool.
Mine was Audio Adrenaline. They opened for DC Talk way back in the day, and I was like, oh, these guys are really good, but it was before, you know, all their big songs. So.
Oh, yeah. So what makes, so as you were looking at your list and kind of configuring your list for today, what makes it a good album to you? Like, what's that criteria for you?
I always think like flow and transition from songs to songs is always good. You know, not that variety is bad. I like to have a variety, but I feel like you can still have a good flow even within, you know, different song styles, if you will.
Yeah.
So that's always a good thing. I just like, you know, albums that just have songs and lyrics that are just consistent and good. And I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's when you listen, you just know it and you feel it and you're like, oh yeah, I can listen to this from beginning to end. You know, there's no boring songs or there's nothing that slows it down. It just kind of, like I said, flows. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's, you're going to find that in my list too, is just every one of these bands really puts a lot of effort into putting together a complete album that's, you know, just flows well. A lot of my bands are very lyrically driven because I really like to be motivated and I really like to be challenged with my music and what I'm putting in. It's very, very album driven. These people really promote full albums. And so, and one of them is one of the bands that is one of the favorite albums is The Killers, and Brandon Flowers, the lead singer from The Killers, talks about a song or an album having meat on the bones. And so I like that comes to mind when I think about criteria for, you know, what is a good album is, you know, it's got some meat to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Has some meaning. So I guess one of the last things is, you know, what influences your music and how has it changed? How has your music style changed over the years? Maybe from influences or whatever. So like for me, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents listened to country music and some Christian music as I got into my teenager. So a lot of country and Christian music, but my sisters always listened to pop music and a little bit of, you know, rock music, you know, pop rock, mm-hmm. and, you know, what was on the radio in those genres. And so that's kind of the history of me. And so, you know, my first CDs were, you know, CDs that I was borrowing from my sisters and stuff like that, like the Beatles and that kind of stuff. But as I started to get my own taste of music, was like, I always joke, I discovered the band U2 in like 1998 after they had like two best of albums out. And so I feel like that was really when I started kind of getting my own taste in music. And it's just kind of, as I kind of followed those YouTube type bands down the rabbit hole, that's when I started to discover some of my favorite bands that you'll see listed. But how about you?
So same way as far as like growing up, I grew up, listening to pretty much all Christian music. I mean, you know, my dad and mom would play some old classics. Like, my mom was a real big Carpenters fan and John Denver and all that. My first tape that I ever owned was the greatest hits of the 1950s. My favorite song growing up was Great Balls of Fire by Jerry Lewis. You know, really music for me was huge with me and my big brother. We had separate rooms, and in my room I had Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, and in his room he had Sega, and we would go from room to room playing video games, and while we played video games, we just listened to music, listened to the radio, listened to CDs. So, you know, 90s music is huge for me, although it's not a ton on my list, but but 90s music is still, you know, I still love 90s music. You know, we would listen to Smashing Pumpkins all the time, you know, pretty much anything. Anything that was pretty popular back then on the radio, we would listen to the Butthole Surfers or whatever. So, and again, we could only get certain albums because my mom would only allow us to have certain things. So my mom made my older brother return Dookie by Green Day because it was inappropriate. So
I got to keep Dookie, but I had to return Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style.
Okay, yeah. And my first two albums or CDs I ever bought were, I bought them at the same time. I bought The Verve Pipe and The Wallflowers.
Yes.
Those are like my first two CDs. But then I would say, you know, so that kind of, that style of music, 90s kind of alternative was huge for me. In the 2000s-ish, it was, again, going back to like Christian metal was a big thing for me. And you know, now my taste has changed. I listen to a lot more rap and R&B than I have ever in the past. So, you know, I think the only thing I don't listen to is country. That's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the only genre of music I don't listen to. I listen to.
Did you ever have a country?
No. So I grew up in the country, and all of my friends listened to country music, and they would always try to get me to listen to it. And I hated it. I could never, ever listen to it. I still to this day remember when, oh, what's that stupid Billy Ray Cyrus song? Why can't I think of the name of it?
Don't Break My Heart.
Yeah, Iggy Breaky Heart. I remember when I was out, and that song was huge, and everyone was listening. I was like, this song is horrible, and I hated every part of it. So I don't know. I've just never been able to get into country outside of like old school Willie Nelson and old school Johnny Cash. That's as close as I get to country.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah, love it. So yeah, well, I think that about sums up the intro for us. I think we can safely jump into it, and you know,
to the list,
go off on some tangents if we want to. But who went first last week when you picked the topic? I can't remember.
I think you went first.
Okay, so why don't you go first?
Okay,
with your number five.
Again, this list is very fluid, and I probably left things off the list that I shouldn't have. But at number five, I have Chance the Rapper's Coloring Book.
Okay.
I love that album. It maybe isn't one that I listen to from beginning to end all the time, but it has some of my favorite rap songs on there and some good collabs. And I wouldn't say it's what got me into rap, but it definitely is what made it maybe more accessible and opened me up to some other artists and bands and things like that. So yeah, Chance the Rapper's coloring book.
Nice. Yeah, I heard that a little bit when it first came out, and it was when it was big. But yeah, I haven't come back to it at all.
Yeah, I like pretty much all of the stuff that Chance puts out, but I would say it's that one's probably my favorite Chance album.
So. Cool. All right. Well, my number five is Nothing Is Wrong, the 10th anniversary edition from Dawes. Dawes is one of my favorite bands. The thing about Dawes is they're kind of like a lot of people say they sound like more of a current version of Jackson Browne. So it's very folk rock, very Americana. Very, a lot of introspective, a lot of, you know, navel gazy type stuff, just like, which is, you know me, that's right up my alley. So,
sure.
It's very, this album is one of those that I really fell in love with just in the last couple of years, right? You know, as I was talking about, you know, going through COVID, going through a lot of soul searching and just like really thinking about me and my place in this world and my connections with all the people that I love and the relationships that, you know, have gone sideways and all that kind of stuff. This album is, just awesome for me.
Nice.
Number five.
Do you have it on vinyl?
I do. I was looking at that today, and I have, let me double check. I think I have, I have all of these on vinyl. Yeah.
Nice.
Except one of them, my number one is a special edition, and I don't have the special edition version of that.
Vinyl one. Got it.
I don't think it exists. It was a fifth year anniversary and it came out. I'm killing my culmination here by giving you details about my number one. it came out, the 5 year anniversary came out during COVID. So I think
okay. It
couldn't have existed sort of thing.
So, nice.
But nice. Go ahead.
So my number four is City in Color.
I didn't know you were a City in Color fan. I love City in Color.
Yeah. Bring Me Your Love, which that album came out in 2008. It was really hard for me to narrow down which one was my favorite. But Bring Me Your Love is my favorite. I love all of their albums. So for those that don't know City in Color, it's a guy, his name's Dallas Green. Is the singer, songwriter, everything. So many good songs on that album. I love The Girls, great. Confessions, Forgive Me. I don't know. It's just one that I can sit down and listen to from beginning to end. I don't need to skip anything. I can just, you know, it really allows me to kind of just chill and be in the moment and listen to the lyrics and just, it's a good album. But again, all of them are good in my opinion. So
nice.
That's my number four.
I really liked their album Little Hell. That was one that I really loved of theirs. But that album is actually when I discovered them. So I didn't know about them on that album that you're talking about. So I'll have to check
Bring
that
Me
out.
To Love.
I'm really interested.
Yeah, I think Bring Me to Love was probably the first album I heard of his, and then I've listened to everyone since then. And there's a one previously to that called Sometimes, which is before in 2005, and that's a really good album. In fact, I think it has two of the songs that are on that album. Oh nope, I'm wrong. I thought two of the songs were on the Bring Me Love, but it's not. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, now I'm excited. I saw you updated your list after I updated mine. So I saw City in Color on there. So I was like, I didn't recognize the album title. So I was immediately excited to talk to you about it. So cool.
While we're on that tangent, have you listened to his album with Pink?
No, I did not know that even existed either.
It's called You and I.
Okay.
It's like the name of the band. They're together.
Uh-huh.
It is like if you're a Pink fan and a Dallas Willard fan.
Yeah,
it's really good. Or I'm sorry, You and Me. I said You and I, right? It's You and Me.
You and Me. Okay.
Yeah, the name of the album is Rose Avenue, and it's really good.
Okay, cool.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Okay, so my number four. This is another COVID album for me, and my number four is Sound and Fury by Sturgill Simpson. And so, do you know who Sturgill Simpson is?
I've heard the name, but I don't think I've ever actually sat down and listened to anything before. So
yeah, so he is a hold on, I'm trying to unpin this video here. There we go. I was looking at myself huge in the video and I couldn't see your face, but other than just a little tiny thumbnail. So Sturgill Simpson is actually a country, almost bluegrass, not bluegrass,
okay,
but country. With a little bit of bluegrass to him, I guess you'd say, but he's very modern bluegrassy. So the funny thing is like, I like his regular country type music, but
sure,
this album was like a, what would you call that? A concept piece. Like he went outside of his normal, style of music that you'd hear on one of his albums, and it was more of I would call it like an acid rock album, like just
okay,
like very
not like, country
not country not country at all. You would not listen to this album and even think that he was a country singer. It's a lot more like he sounds a lot more like Chris Stapleton in this, at least his voice is, but it's even harder than him. But yeah, it's one that when I'm really feeling like crap and just feeling like pissed off about things and just like, you know, about politics or whatever it might be. But I'll just put this on and I'm just feeling like I don't want to be around anybody and just I want to just disappear in my work for 8 hours or something. Yeah, this is a good one for that. So, yeah, fourth studio album by Sturgill Simpson, released in 2019. So this is what this the AI told me about this album. It is a departure from his previous country sound and explores a fusion of genres like rock, punk, and synth pop. The album is accompanied by an anime film of the same name directed by Junpei Mizusaki. Sound and Fury features high energy tracks with gritty guitars, powerful vocals, introspective lyrics, showcasing Simpson's artistic evolution and experimentation. It is a bold and dynamic project that pushes boundaries and offers a unique sonic experience. So
nice.
It's one that you can crank. It's just just a fun one to listen to.
Yeah, I love the ones where you can just get lost in it. You know what I mean? You're just in it.
No, it's not for you. You can just have a bite.
Okay.
Hey, where's my bite?
That was the biggest bite in the whole world.
I just got delivered a Liege waffle.
Nice.
Have you ever had a Liege waffle?
I don't think so. It looked like a cookie.
Sugar. And no, I cannot hear
There's
you.
Crystallized sugar inside of it. And so it's like crunchy. It's so good.
Got it. Yeah, it looked like a cookie from what I could see. Oh, I see it now. I saw the waffle marks. Yep. Nice.
Cool. All right. So that was my number four.
Four. Yep. All right. So my number three is Mumford & Sons' Sign No More, which came out in 2009. I just, again, love this album. I know it's got a lot of hits that people listen to over and over. It's what kind of took me down a folk rock time period in my life where I listened to a lot of that kind of style. Like that was basically all I listened to. It was probably the first album that really got me into that kind of folk rock kind of stuff. So I just love that album. Can still listen to it all the way through. I think everyone knows the songs on that album too. So it's pretty popular.
Yeah. What was the big song?
Well, there's a lot of them. I'm trying to pull it up. Sign No More was on there, but the cave, the Little Lion Man. I think
Little Lion Man. Yes, that was a big one. Yeah.
Little Lion Man and Cave, and the Cave were, I think, were the two big ones.
Yep.
But I like Awake My Soul's on there. So many good songs.
That might be one I need to get on vinyl, because that's...
I think I have it on vinyl. I'm pretty sure.
That's one that you could just put on and let play. Oh, yeah. That's what I've been finding are my favorite vinyls to get. My favorite vinyls aren't necessarily my favorite bands or even my favorite songs. They're the ones like we're talking about, the full
albums. Because you can't skip songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's hard to. I mean, you can. It's just a pain in the butt.
Yeah. You don't have a track forward button. Cool. All right, so my number three is Imploding the Mirage by The Killers. So if you know me at all, The Killers are my favorite band. They have been my favorite band since they came out. I've followed them for easily, probably at least 15 years, but they've been out, doing music for like 17, 18 years. At least released and popular, across the country. So this album came out in 2020, so another COVID album. Imploding the Mirage is the sixth studio album by The Killers. It's a grand and anthematic exploration of hope, resilience, and pursuit of dreams. Showcases The Killers' signature blend of alternative rock and synth pop, featuring catchy hooks, soaring melodies, and introspective lyrics. Imploding the Mirage takes listeners on a sonic journey, capturing both the band's familiar sound and a sense of evolution. The album is filled with energetic and uplifting tracks, reflecting a spirit of optimism amidst challenging times. It's a testament to The Killers' ability to craft memorable and emotional, resonant music. So, So The Killers, this is their... This is not their newest album. They've had one since, but this album hit me, hit me right, when I needed it. One of the songs actually came out on my birthday during COVID, and so just like, oh my goodness. And so we saw them in concert. We were actually like in the front row, and he waved at Vivian, Brandon Flowers did. And so like, it was just a great album, great experience. Love that one. And we have it on vinyl. So
Was it hard to narrow down your favorite Killers album or no?
Yes, there was one other one. It's not one that anybody would pick. Let me think about it. Let me just double check I'm not missing one, because there's a lot of really good, obviously Hot Fuss, their first album, is like iconic. Yeah. That's the one everybody knows. Everyone knows the songs, Mr. Brightside, Somebody Told Me. Yeah. I'll have to edit some of this out, but yeah, Sam's Town is pretty great. That one's probably Katie's favorite, but this is mine.
Yeah.
So the album that came out, the album that came out the year that Vivian was born in 2012, Battleborn, had no like huge songs on it. And in fact, my favorite songs on it aren't even like songs that were even released or released heavily, like Miss Atomic Bomb. Like, I love just songs that are kind of off the beaten path, or just, are slower songs, or just like songs that for whatever reason, whether because of their long songs or their, just a little bit weird songs, they don't get on the radio. Some of those are ones I like, but,
nice.
But once I thought more and more about it, just the way that, that song, that album came out, and that song came out on my birthday. The album came out the year I was turning 40, and like so many things about it were just like, I was really listening to a lot of music in the last couple of years. And so, when your favorite band comes out and you're really consuming a lot of music, it's going to be probably the top one. So
for sure. All right. My number two is Ben Folds' Rockin' the Suburbs, which after I put this on, I didn't realize this album came out and was released September 11, 2001. Isn't that kind of crazy? Talk about a great day to put out an album.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, probably didn't get on the radio for a couple of weeks.
I don't know. I thought it was an older album. I didn't realize it was in 2001. I thought it was in, you know, mid or late 90s. But
yeah, because it probably just always existed to you or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love Ben Folds Five. I love Ben Folds. Ben Folds is my wife and I's favorite musician. We go to every concert of his we can. We've been a lot. We just love him. It was hard to kind of narrow down my favorite album, but Rock in the Suburbs is probably my favorite for sure. It also has our song on it, which is The Luckiest. But yeah, such great tracks like Zach and Sarah and Fred Jones Part 2 and Carrie and Kathy. But yeah, so Rocking the Suburbs, great album. I know probably Rocking the Suburbs is the most popular song, although The Luckiest is up there. But yeah, it's just a great album. Came out on the worst day, but it was a killer album for sure. So.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So my number two is an interesting album. In fact, so it's the album's called Terrible Thrills Volume 2. It's from the Bleachers. And AI was quick to correct me on when I was asking what to basically just, you know, give me a synopsis of the album.
Yeah.
It responded to me in these exact words. So I just put it in here and I figure I just read it verbatim. It said, "I apologize, but there seems to be a misunderstanding. Terrible Thrills Volume 2 is not an album by Bleachers. Bleachers is the musical project of American musician Jack Antonoff. However, Terrible Thrills Volume 2 is actually a companion album to Bleachers' debut album Strange Desire. It features reinterpretations and covers of the original album's songs by various female artists. Album offers a fresh perspective on Bleachers' music with artists like Sia, Carly Rae Jepsen, and Tinashe contributing their own renditions. Terrible Thrills Volume 2 provides a different sonic experience with maintaining the essence of Bleachers' catchy pop rock sound."
Okay.
So if you know who Jack Antonoff is, he's been in a couple bands that you may have heard of. Obviously, Bleachers that we're talking about here, but then also the band Fun. He was like the main guitarist plus like... wrote a lot of the songs in Fun along with I forget his name.
I can't think of it either. I was trying to think of it when you were talking.
Yeah, and I listened to his music too. But so he's been in a couple bands, but then also he produces and writes songs with Taylor Swift, and so I know a lot of people like Taylor Swift. He's responsible for a lot of that music as well. Obviously she writes all of her own music, but he helps produce it and helps write some of it with her. Terrible Thrills Volume 2. The thing about Jack, obviously he's worked with a lot of female artists. That's how he's gotten connected with the likes of Sia, Carly Rae Jepsen, a few other people. He's always said that when he writes songs, for whatever reason, his writing style, he always hears his music, like when he's thinking about it, he always hears it with a female voice. And so one of the fun things he's started to do is re-release some of his music as it's come out with females singing it. And so so that's a fun one. I was able to actually find it on vinyl, which it was like a limited pressing. I found it on vinyl and got it on eBay. So I have it on vinyl and it gets played a lot in our house. So
nice.
And awesome. We like it more than the original album.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. All right, so we at number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my number one is Weezer, Blue Album or
yes.
self-titled or Weezer, depending on who you talk to or how you yep. want it to be known as. But I've always called it the Blue Album. So this album came out on May 10th, 1994. So again, this was one that I loved this album when it came out. I've continued to love it, continue to listen to it. It was a big album for me. I know I remember listening to it all the time when I was younger with my older brother playing video games. And I just love all of the songs. I think I know all the words to all the songs. It's just been a great album. And I think it, you know, sent me down a path of continuing to just love Weezer as a whole as well. So, but yeah, Weezer Blue, my number one.
Yeah.
Or at the present moment.
Yeah, so Weezer is funny. I love Weezer. We go see Weezer every opportunity we get to when they're in town.
Yeah.
And but I did not like Weezer when this album came out. I love mm-hmm. this album now.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it did not. You know, maybe I was in my Christian music or my
sure.
country music phase, and it just did not strike an accord with me. But
Yeah,
love this music, love this album now. But I feel like we've talked about this before, but do you know what my favorite Weezer album is?
I know you told me.
And it's the album that came out when I started to like them, basically.
Was it the green album?
The red album.
The red album, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I knew it was one of the color ones. I couldn't remember which one. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to know what's funny?
What?
Weezer Blue Album isn't my favorite Weezer album. But yet it's my number one favorite album. Isn't that weird?
So what's your favorite album?
Your Pinkerton.
Favorite Weezer album. Oh, okay. So what's the difference? Yeah. So what's the difference? What do you...
I just... For me, like, that the Blue Album holds just so much history and meaning to me. You know, like...
Yeah.
It's what got me into it. It's what led me to it. It's
where you were just, when you were listening to it.
Yeah, the nostalgia of it. Who you know, all, with. All of that stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love it. But Pinkerton, there's just something about Pinkerton that I've always loved. So
it's a good album. Good yep. album. Cool. All right. Well, my number one, this is the one that I was alluding to earlier, the 5th anniversary edition of Endless Summer by The Midnight. So if you don't know who The Midnight is, they are I tell people they're like an 80s retro synth band. Just like, it's very like nostalgic when you think of like 80s video games and all those bleeps and bloops in the video games, like they've turned that into music, but all, like mixed it with a rock band. And so like, there's a lot of that kind of music out there, but this band actually like took it the next step and like put good lyrics to it and put like a good, like, you know, wrapping paper on it. Like they
kind
of finished it off. There's a lot of retro bands out there, but a lot of them don't have lyrics, and the ones that do have lyrics aren't very polished, not like this band. So the write-up I got from it, Endless Summer is the second studio album by the synthwave duo The Midnight, released in 2016. The album encapsulates the nostalgic essence of summer nights and 80s aesthetics. With its dreamy synthesizers, pulsating beats, and evocative lyrics, Endless Summer takes listeners on a musical journey through sun-soaked memories and wistful longing. Nice. The album blends elements of synth pop, new wave, and electronic music, creating a captivating fusion of retro and contemporary sounds. Endless Summer is an immersive experience that transports listeners to a nostalgic era while serving as a testament to The Midnight's ability to craft atmospheric and emotive music. This is one of those that I can literally put on in any mood and just let it play in the background. The thing about The Midnight that wasn't really covered in here is most of their songs have strong saxophone presence to them, which I never thought I needed or wanted in my life, but...
Until you got it.
Until you got it. One of our favorite memories is when we got to see them in concert a few years ago. the saxophonist. Is that the right term? Saxophonist?
Sure.
the saxer? The sax man?
Johnny Sax.
The sax man came down into the crowd and stopped, kind of like he went through the crowd a little bit, but then came back to the stage, and it was right where we were standing, and he literally played a like minute solo to Katie while we were standing in the crowd. It was, and I got it on video, and so if you haven't seen it, I'll show it to you sometime.
But. Nice. So yeah. I have a question. Does it have to be the fifth anniversary, or can it be the original? Like, is there a difference?
Yeah, so the fifth anniversary just has a few B-side songs that never got released with the original one. So the original version is great. That's what I have on vinyl. That's what we listen to all the time. But when I listen to it on Spotify, I make sure I listen to the fifth, anniversary edition. There's one song that... so the two main members of the band are Tim and Tyler. And Tim is he's the main percussionist. So he does not sing in most of the songs, but there was one song on the regular edition of this album that he sang on, and in the special edition one, there's another one that he sings on. And and I love Tyler's voice, and he is the heart of the band, but Tim also has some cool songs that he sings in. So
yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that's my number one.
All right, so, that's our top five.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know about you, but mine changes all the time, so.
Yeah, yeah. But I really liked your idea of, keeping our top five secret from each other. With ones like these, we're not going to be completely surprised by each other's.
Sure.
But, when we start getting into other things like movies or, ones that, might change a lot more often, or things that we just don't know. It could be pretty fun to just not know what the other person's number five is or whatever.
Yeah.
So do you have any that you couldn't quite get on your list that, for me, actually, as we were thinking about it, was the Red album by Weezer. That does not fall far off my list. That is my number one album from them that I listen to, and I listen to a lot of Weezer. So,
yeah, I mean, so many. Like I said, I thought the TV show was hard, but this was really hard. Another Neptune by the Tall Heights was close to being on there. Yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of ones where I was like, man. I didn't have any. Yeah, I don't know. It was very tough for me. But
what's like your number one album you're listening to right now? I'm just going on my Spotify. Like,
Right now, I haven't been listening so much to albums through. I've been just listening to more like curated radio, things like that. Yeah. So it's all sorts of songs that I enjoy.
The new Arcade Fire album, have you listened to that? That had been getting a lot of play in our house.
I have not, no. I'm just looking at maybe things I've added. So I just added some stuff that was Marcus Mumford, his self-titled album. Yeah, I've been listening to a lot.
The Killers put out a compilation album called Rebel Diamonds just recently, but it's just it's just all it's all their singles essentially, which apparently they have a lot.
I've also been listening to a lot of Billie Eilish, When We All Fall Asleep. Oh, yeah. Where Do We Go? Yeah. That album's a great album.
That's a great album. But,
Like I said, too many, man. It's it was not easy to narrow it down, but
do you listen to much Churches, the band Churches?
I don't. Nope. I should.
Another favorite of mine. Lord, any Lord album is good in our house.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. A lot of Taylor Swift.
Right. Right.
So, cool. Well, I think we can leave it there. If you're good, or
I'm good.
Yeah.
I think we got some good honorable mentions in there, and
good
top five.
Yeah, good special guest.
Yeah, loved having Vivian on. Cool. I was surprised. Well, I was surprised at her top Swift album. I don't know why. That's not the one I was thinking it was going to be.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I agree. I like all the newer albums, and it seems like as they come out, I like them more and more, but, yeah, she likes, it's funny. She's going through some of like these older, more country, albums. And yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I don't really like this album as much as you do, Vivian, because I lived through that phase of Taylor Swift. Yeah, like, yeah. Not that it's bad or anything, but like all those songs got overplayed, and so I went on to the new Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's new to her. It's not new to you.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can't blame her. Good music. Right. Yeah. Cool. All right. Stop the recording.
And that's another episode of the High Five Podcast. Remember, five is just the starting point, not the limit, guiding us through another labyrinth of favorites with a few extra twists. Catch us next week for more adventures in counting and beyond. Until then, a high five from Jay and Caleb to you. See you next time.